Thank you so much for joining us today. Happy New Year. I hope you guys have had a great 5 days so far in 2020. I hope it hasn't been bad yet, and we're going to pray that it just continues to be great, a great year for all of us, a year of growth and great changes that happen in our lives. And so we are down a little bit in numbers today, so just keep your thoughts and prayers on our teams that have gone down to our team that has gone down to South Texas to do some great mission work that go each and every year around this time. So I'm excited to hear stories of their trip and see some great pictures. It's always great to have them come back and share what it is God did while they were gone. So keep them in your prayers as they do wonderful things down there, as they be the hands and feet of Christ as we are called to do. So again, I want to start this year off right. You know, we're going to talk, as I shared last week, you know, we're going to talk about the vision, the mission of Rolling Hills Community Church and what God has called us to do. You know, we're starting a brand new series, as you can see on the screen there this weekend. It's called Unstoppable. See, we're going to look at what God has called us to do, what he's called this church to be, and what unique role that we all get to play and the honor we get to play and what God is asking us to do in this church and in our community as well. So next week, and I don't want you to miss this. I don't want you to miss any of these weeks as we move forward, because again, we're going to be pointing to the future. You know, we're going to say, here's who we are. This is who we are. This is what God's asking us to do. Here's where we're going. And I'm telling you, you're going to experience some great things the next few weeks. I truly believe that with all my heart. You're going to actually say, that really is, Matt, that's an unstoppable vision. And God's going to do great things through this church. But here's what we have to understand. You know, it's not unstoppable because it's something I came up with or something that I dreamed up or Pastor Gary dreamed up or any of us as men or women have dreamed up and brought forth. It's unstoppable because there's been people praying. There's been people talking, been people on their face before God saying, God, what do you want us to do? What do you want this church to be? What do you want us to become? What do you want us to do in our community and in this world? Who are you calling us to be as Rolling Hills Community Church? That's why it's an unstoppable vision. I truly believe that. Okay, it's not because it's ours, okay? Because it's God's. And it's what he has asked each and every one of us to do and be in this church, in our community, and in this world, yes. So I'm telling you again, don't miss this series. If you can make it out the next few weeks, it's going to be a great opportunity to just see where we're going, what's happening, exciting things happening. So it's because the mission of Christ, it's because the mission of all Christ followers, that's you, that's me, that's all of us who have chosen to be like Christ, should be to lead people to become fully devoted followers of Christ. That's what it's all about. That's the mission. That's the goal of our church. That's the goal of who we are as Christians, to become fully devoted followers of Christ. But also, as Christ said as he stepped out of this world, to go and make fully devoted followers of Christ. So if you're new, again, this is your first time, that's a huge statement, right? That's a lot to think about. It's a lot to take in. You know, we want to make our church one where our mission is to lead people to become fully devoted followers of Christ. See, we do this first to see people come to Christ. That's our number one mission, to see them make a decision to follow Christ. And we try to do that each and every week at the end of the sermons, even in our first service as well. We offer this wonderful invitation to follow Christ if you've never actually decided to do that or made that choice to do that. See, this, people jump in deeper. They start to discover who Christ really is, and a passion starts to burn inside them to be more like him. They want to know more about Christ, who he was, what he did, and how they can be more like him in their lives. And that's my passion as well. Then as they go deeper, as they go further into the faith, further into membership in our church, maybe tithing is something they want to do. They want to try that for the first time. They're thinking, is God really going to bless us if I give 10% of my income? What's he going to do in our home and our finances if I'm helping my church? And then great things start to happen as well as we get deeper in. We start to see marriages put back together. Some that are broken, some that are hopeless. People walking away from addictions and hurtful habits. That's what we want to see happen. And I'm going to tell you right now that Lisa and I and my girls, we have given our lives to the mission. We have given our lives to God, saying, yes, we're in. Wherever you want to take us, we're going to go. And that brought us here from California. And it took us a few places in California to North Carolina. But we said, yes, God, we are all in, every part of us. And so my question to you is, will you follow as well? Will you follow that mission that God has set out before us? Giving your life to the mission. All of you, every part of you, everything inside of you. See, it's what Jesus did. He did all the way to the cross. And he asked us to do this also. Well, as we read in the Bible, Mark chapter 8, verses 34 to 35, it's a very interesting passage to me. I love what it says here. You know, it's talking, Jesus is hanging out with this group of people, right? Some of his disciples were there. And it says that Jesus told the crowd and the disciples to come closer. And he said this, if any of you want to be my followers, you must forget about yourself. You must take up your cross and follow me. See, if you study scripture, you're going to find out that hanging on a cross is the norm in execution. We read about that, right? We know that that happens in the Bible. It even happened after the Bible, even before that. But so what they would do, they would put a cross on the person's back. Whoever was designated to be executed, they would throw this giant cross on their back and make them carry it step by step throughout their communities, walking in front of all their friends, all their family, all the people they've known, all the people they've hurt and they've lied to or stolen from or murdered. These people would laugh at them. They'd spit on them. But Christ also did the same. And he's asking us to do that as well, taking that cross into the community, to deny ourselves, to get uncomfortable. We talked about this a few weeks ago, to get uncomfortable, to get out of that comfort zone. We want to take Christ into our work. Some of you may be retired, but there's other opportunities. There's places you have to take Christ with you each and every day. Probably in your car sometimes, right? Traffic gets a little weird. In our homes, we want to keep Christ centered in our homes, in the boardrooms, our offices, for all the single people, on our dates. We want to take Christ there with us, especially in the living room, into the music we're listening to, into whatever we're filling our ears with. And while we're watching TV, while we're streaming Netflix or Hulu or Disney Plus or whatever we're watching, we want to take Christ with us there as well. He has to be the center of our lives. And this is really him saying, you know, that we're not just going to be partially devoted followers anymore. It's not about being partial. It's not about just being giving a little bit of yourself here and there. It's not just giving him a little bit of time, a little bit, few pieces of myself here and there. He's saying, I want you to be a fully devoted follower of me. What he's asking us here, guys, is to step up. And I got a lot of areas in my life I need to step up as well. My wife's probably going to say amen back there. But he's asking us to sacrifice a lot, to get uncomfortable. Well, there's a church that's talked about in the book of Acts. It's pretty much one of the first churches that ever started. But these guys put this, they put this church together, and you know what they did? They really, truly raised the bar. They said, this is where we have to be as a church, where we want to be as a church. They said, we're going to be fully devoted followers of Christ. And here's how we're going to do it. We're going to be obedient, even when it's uncomfortable. We're going to follow God, wherever you want us to go, wherever you ask us to go, we are all in. We're going to do it. And I want to show you how God came alive in this church and in these people's lives. Now picture yourself in this room right now, God moving in the midst, just like he does in this passage right here, Acts 2, verses 42 to 47. It says, they spent their time learning from the apostles, and they were like family to each other. They also broke bread and prayed together. Everyone was amazed by the many miracles and wonders that the apostles worked. All the Lord's followers often met together, and they shared everything they had. They'd sell their property and possessions and give the money to whoever needed it. See, day after day, they met together in the temple. They broke bread together in different homes and shared their food happily and freely while praising God. Everyone liked them. And each day, the Lord added to their group others who were being saved. Now it says here, they spent their time, that they dedicated themselves to the apostles' teaching, and everyone was amazed. See, it doesn't mean a few or just some of the people in the church were actually filled with awe. There weren't just a few people sitting over here talking or a few here over here that had an agenda or doing something else. It said they, every one of them were filled with awe. And it means as you walked in, you had this sense of awe and expectation. You walked in there knowing that God is going to do something big today. And it may not be in my life. Maybe because things are going great right now and I have the chance to pray for somebody else. And maybe someone in this service today actually needs God to do something big in their life. But that was the expectation they walked into God's presence with each and every time. They walk in these doors that God was going to move and that he was going to move miraculously. They expected it. And because of that, many signs and wonders were done by the apostle. If you read on and on and on, you're going to see what those signs and wonders were, healings and all kinds of great things that happened. See, all who believed were there together in one accord, in unity. Here's the part that's out of the norm for the world that we live in today, right? They had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods, and they gave to anyone that had a need. Now, we live in a different world now where we pretty much probably don't have to sell things because, you know, it's America. We make money. We're able to step in and help somebody sometimes, maybe pay a bill or take care of something that needs to happen when people are going through a rough time. And that's wonderful. That's what it's all about. But this is a time where if somebody needed money or they needed serious help, it'd be like jumping on eBay or Facebook, Facebook Marketplace, right? Selling your couch, saying, here, I need somebody to buy this couch because my best friend over here needs to pay for his car. He needs a car payment, or he can't make his rent this month. He's short. And that's what it was all about. See, they would sell something and give the money to them. Why? Just because they cared. Because that was the mission. They loved people. They loved everyone. See, the beautiful thing here is the fact that they sold. It's not the fact that they sold something or handed them a sack of coins. See, to me, it was the heart behind it. It's beautiful as the perspective each one had that people mattered more than stuff. They mattered more than things. They knew that people mattered most to God, and so they're going to matter most to me as well. Being a fully devoted follower of Christ, that's how they did it. See, when it came down to it, there's no question. When they faced those moments like that, they were able to step in and be Christ to someone. And many of you have done that for us. Many of you have done that for other people in the church. And you stepped in and you've been Christ to us in our times that were tough. And we thank you for that with all of our hearts. We really do. See, and then every day they continue to meet in the temple courts. See, one experience every week or every 3 weeks or 2 weeks wasn't enough for them. See, they needed to go in every single day. And I'm not saying we have to do that we have to walk in here each and every day and have church. I know that would probably get a little bit taxing on us. I don't know, but I know there are some churches that actually do run this. If you go online and find out, there are churches that are actually functioning 24/7, whether it's through worship or prayer, Bible reading, meditation, but they're following this exact example right here. And I love that. See, they ate together in their homes with glad, sincere hearts. I don't think that's just because the food was good. Because they loved the community. They loved the friendships. They loved the families that they were building. See, they were, in essence, they were small groups. How many of you can say you're part of a small group? Okay, awesome. That's what it's all about. And I think this is, in essence, what was happening at that time. These were small groups. And I push this all the time from the stage, from announcements, whatever we possibly can. You see them scrolling in the announcements before service. But small groups, I truly believe, are where the biggest life change happens. And it's not just because you're reading the Bible. It's because you're building a community. You're building friendships and building family with people who want to surround you and be a part of every aspect of your life. We can come here on Sundays and hopefully get a great message from Pastor Gary and I, whoever's speaking that week. And I hope it's great. We try to do our best. But we want that community to be built throughout the week. That's where we want the real life change to happen, when you jump in those small groups and you build that community, because they are the ones who are going to surround you in the hardest moments of your life. They're the ones that are going to be there. See, and that's what it's all about. See, listen to the power of this verse. And the Lord added, I don't have it on the board here, but it says, the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. See, it was a church that just didn't sleep. People were coming to Christ every single day, and it's this movement is what it is. The Spirit of God went through this church, and they didn't stop or settle for partial commitment. They just didn't give a piece of themselves here and there. They didn't just say, oh, I'm just going to give a little bit of myself to this mission. They said, I am all in. I am a fully devoted follower of Christ, and that's who I want to be until the day I take my last breath. That's what it was all about. Leading people to become fully devoted followers. See, God's doing great things in the current world that we live in. He is. I read articles all the time. I'm on different Facebook groups. I'm getting emails all the time about what God's doing across this nation and across this world. And it is beautiful. And it's so awesome to be a part of that in our little community here of Lago Vista. That's because people have that mission. This is what we want to do. We're going to listen to what Christ told us when he stepped out of this world. He said, go. Go and make disciples. Go and make fully devoted followers of me. That's what he said to do. See, no matter how much technology advances, and we know it does, right? We go into the Apple store, we go to Walmart, wherever you get a phone, Sprint store, AT&T, whatever, you get this new phone, right? You get the iPhone 11 because it's the newest thing, but by the time you get to your door to grab the handle, guess what? It's already obsolete. They already got the 12 coming, or they got the 11.68947 coming. They got it. They got something coming all the time. Whether we get a new computer back there, we buy the newest model, and suddenly as soon as we plug it in and plug it into the screen and all this stuff, there's already something new that's out. That's the way technology works. It's always changing. But no matter how much it changes or advances or what forms of new ministry we discover, see, the mission always has to remain the same. We have to be a church that is always building that right there, that's making fully devoted followers of Christ. And if we're not doing that, we are not a church. See, we can change the paint in here. We can change the decor. We can put new lights up. We can put new carpet. We can put new tile. We can get new seats. We can change the music. We can change pastors. But down the line, if we become a church that's not doing that, that's not created and fully devoted followers of Christ, we are no longer a church. See, that is the mission that has to remain the same as we move forward always. It's not something that man can create. It's not something, again, that Pastor Gary or myself, that we can create. It's unstoppable. It's an unstoppable vision because God crafted it. He formed it in his hands, and he put his hands on it, and he's given it to us as a gift. He said, this is what I'm asking you to do. This is the church I want you to be. So what does that mean for us as Rolling Hills Community Church? Where do we fit into that plan? How do we participate in this vision that God's using to reach people literally all over the world? Even down in South Texas right now. So grab your fill-ins, if you would, inside your bulletin there. You can fill these out if you want. I got three things I want you to write down. If you don't want to, don't worry about it. There's three things I just want you to remember. I want you to walk away with today. But on there it says, we have a vision for a church where, number one, everyone is welcome. And I want you to write that down. Everyone is welcome. And I love that God's word wraps up with this verse. Revelation 22:17 says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Everyone who hears this should say, come. If you are thirsty, come. If you want life-giving water, come and take it. It's free. I mean, wow, right? What a way to tell the world. This is it. Everyone is welcome in the presence of God. See, Jesus stands before us today, and he's saying, you are welcome. No matter who you are, no matter where you come from, no matter what you've done, see, it doesn't matter the hurt, it doesn't matter the pain, it doesn't matter what it is that you are going through in life. It doesn't matter. This is a place, this is a church that you are welcome because his presence is here. You're welcome with your doubts. We have them. Your questions. Fears, we got those, right? Poor decisions, we probably made some this week, right? You're still welcome here. Your pain, your hurt, your addictions, every one of you are welcome. And you're welcome with your clothes. As long as you're covered up, that's what matters. You're welcome with your hurt, your pain, your unbelief, your bald head, your mullet. However you want to rock a haircut, you are welcome here. Even OU and Arkansas fans are still welcome here, right? Can we say that in Texas? But can you believe that, though? Think about that. Think about all we've gone through in our lives. Think about the pain, the hurt, the mess-ups, the addictions we may currently still be in. Who knows? But God has got to be wrapped up in that, right? To be able to be in his presence as we are, to come as we are, God is so wrapped up in that. It's nothing that we can do as man, only him. And this is a role that we all get to play, is that we need to welcome people. We need to be a welcoming church, and I truly believe we are. We got wonderful, smiling faces that are there each and every week as you walk in, even in our first service as well. Shaking hands, smiling faces, hugs sometimes if you want them as well. We got to be welcoming people. That's one of the great things about a church, is to walk in and know that you're part of something, to feel that you are welcomed, even though you don't feel like, even though you shouldn't be welcomed. See, we need to welcome the people in the community, our friends and our family, people that don't know Christ, people that have never been to church, that have never stepped into the four walls of a church, that don't have a church home. They need to be welcome here. People that are hurting. See, we will be a church that welcomes everyone. And I believe we already are that. And this is something we got covered very well, to welcome people, to bring them in, to see God move in their hearts and their lives, see God absolutely change and transform this community. And I believe he's able to use Rolling Hills to do just that. If we just say, yes, I'm in. I'm in, God. What do you want me to do? What part do you want me to play in that mission? It's an unstoppable vision that only God can give. But we also have a church. We also have a vision for a church where everyone is needed. See, 1 Corinthians 12:4-6 says, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but they all come from the same Spirit. There are different ways to serve the same Lord, and we can each do different things. Yet the same God works in all of us and helps us in everything that we do. That's good news, right? So he's given us gifts and talents to be used for him to see lives changed. And for all of you sitting here right now, I want you to know that God has given you a gift. Some of you have already discovered that gift. You know the role you play in this church. You know that whenever you show up on a Sunday, this is what you're going to do. Or whatever you're going to do throughout the week, this is who you are, and this is what you're going to do. And if you don't know your gift this morning, if you don't know my role, how can I get more involved in church, or how can I get more involved in God's family? I don't know what my gift is. We want to help you discover that. And we're going to do that over time. That's things we're going to talk about over the next few weeks. We're going to help you find that place if you're looking to find your place in this church and what it is you want to do and how we can best use your gifts for God's glory and for the benefit of the people of this church. See, God's given you a talent, and if you're not using it, I'm telling you, you're truly missing out on the fulfillment and joy that God wants you to have. There's a lot of joy in serving. There's a lot of joy in using those gifts to serve his people and to serve this community, especially in the context of the local church, which is what this is here. It's because this, the local church, see, God's given it to us as a vehicle to help redeem and save the world. This is a place people can come to and find hope in their hopelessness. You see, every single act of kindness, everything we do at that front door every week, it all makes a difference. Every chair moved every week makes a difference, right? Moving chairs, we love that, right? Move a lot of chairs around here. Every lawn mowed, every plant trimmed makes a difference. Every snack brought to the window each and every week makes a difference. The coffee from my wonderful, beautiful wife in the back. Every handshake, every smile, it all makes a difference. And I'm going to say even yes, every dirty diaper that's changed in that nursery week after week makes a difference. Use your gift. God's gifted us, and he wants you to use it, and he wants you to use it for his glory to grow his kingdom. 1 Corinthians 12:21 says, that's why the eyes can't say they don't need the hands. That's also why the head can't say it doesn't need the feet. In fact, we can't get along without the parts of the body that seem to be the weakest. See, so when God looks at Rolling Hills Community Church, I believe he sees a body. He sees a family. We're a family. See, some of us are heads, some of us are hands, some are feet, some are elbows, some are knees, and some of you are rear ends. I'm just kidding. We're all that sometimes, right? No amens from the back. We can all be that way sometimes. Here's the thing. I want to say this with all my heart, and I want to speak for myself, Pastor Gary, everyone who serves here on our board, everyone who leads here. I'm going to say with all my heart, we need you. We need you to be a part of this church. We need you to be a part of this machine that happens each and every week. We need you to make it all happen. It's too big. See, it's beautiful looking around and seeing what God's doing week after week, and even throughout the week when you're not here, while you're at work, and what God does in this office throughout the week, and the things being sent out and the things coming in, and the service that happens at 9:30. It's beautiful seeing what God does each and every week. And he's given each and every one of us gifts again. And I want to ask you before you leave this room today, just to search your heart, that you'd make a choice and say, God, I'm going to serve. I want to find a place where you can use me. My heart is open. I am willing. I'm 100% in, and I want you to use me. I want you to use my gifts for your glory. Why? See, because we have a vision for a church where every person is needed. And I'll say it again with all my heart. We need you to make this happen. And then number three, we have a vision for a church where everyone is changed. See, Romans 10:13 says, all who call out to the Lord will be saved. That's good news, isn't it? When we come in on the weekends, we all enter with baggage sometimes, right? Coming on a Sunday morning, we probably got a little bit of baggage from the week. And that we don't know what that may be. That baggage may have hopped its way on your back that morning on the ride to church. You may have gotten an argument with the spouse. It happens. Maybe somebody cut you off on the way here and you probably didn't react right. It happens. We all walk into the presence of God sometimes with that baggage. But we also walk into this place with pain sometimes. And you have your own story. You have your own story of what's going on in your life. You have your hurt. You have your addictions. Some of you may be sitting here today with secrets in your heart that you don't want anybody to know. And what this verse is saying, that when you come in here, you can come as you are. See, but if you truly, as it says here, if you truly call on the name of the Lord, you will leave this place changed and different and new. And I truly believe that with all my heart. You have a fresh start. And it can happen this week. That's why, again, each and every week we give this invitation to follow Christ, because that's what life change is all about. Surrendering your life, surrendering control, everything you have to Christ, and allowing him to be the Lord and master and savior of your life. That's the fresh start we need sometimes. And maybe some of us just need a fresh start, period. We could have been going to this church for 1 year, for 10 years, for 50 years. And we can step into the presence of God and still be changed somehow. Because 50 years down the line, 40 years down the line, we may still have some baggage in our hearts. We may still have some things in our lives that don't belong, and we need God to bring powerful change to that. See, but when you come into the presence of God, you can't help but be changed. 1 Samuel 10:6 says, and listen to the power of these words here. Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you, and you will prophesy with them. And here it is right here. And you will be changed into a different person. Man, I'm so glad I was changed. But did you hear that? You will be changed into a different person. See, the vision is that everyone in this room would be changed. Whether you've been here a long time or whether you're brand new, whether you don't know much about Christ or who this God is or this Bible thing, we want to be changed. Changed into a different person. And that's the vision of our church, is that everyone is, no matter what stage of life they are, no matter what stage they are in their walk with Christ. See, it's not just for 10 or 5 or 20 of us or a few of us. It's that every single one of us, when we connect with God, when we pray, when we meet in small groups, when we get together, when we make a commitment that says, God, I don't want to be a partially devoted follower of Christ anymore. I'll do whatever you ask. I'll do whatever you say. See, when we do that as a church, the Spirit of God's power is going to fall upon us greatly in ways that we've probably never seen. And I'm telling you right now, lives are going to be changed because we are in unity. We are in one spirit together. See, this entire community will be transformed and changed. And we know it's growing, right? We drive down these streets. I drive down Boggy every day to go home, and there's not a day that goes by where I'm not stuck behind a construction truck of some sort or hitting a pothole that takes out half of my car, right? Because there's so much change happening. People are coming here all the time, church, and we can be this powerful beacon of hope and light for a church, for a world that doesn't know Christ, that's hopeless, that's drowning in their hurts and their pains. See, God wants to change this community, and he can do that through Rolling Hills Community Church if we allow him to just let him do his thing, if we all just say, I am in. God, use me to do whatever you need to do to make this happen. See, God's power is going to fall upon us. Again, I'm going to tell you, lives are going to be changed. And here's the exciting thing, that God wants to use us to do it. That is good news. As messed up as we are, as the mistakes that we make, as the failures that we sometimes might be, God wants to use us to change people, to change this community. And he's entrusted us with this unstoppable vision. See, we're going to be a church that welcomes people. See, we already are. We're good at that. And I love that, about our people here. No matter who they are, no matter where they come from, we are going to be welcoming them. We'll be a place where everyone is needed. We need you. We need every one of you to help this machine happen each and every week, to get these parts rolling, to make that body whole. It will be a place where everyone is changed, no matter who they are, no matter where they've come from, no matter what their background is, no matter what they're going through. We want to be a church where people can walk in and be changed in the presence of God. Because when you step into the power of God, you can't help but be transformed and changed. I've seen that happen my whole life. So here's my question to you, and I want to wrap it up with us today. And I pray that this question, if it has to, keeps you up at night staring at the ceiling. But will you give your life to the mission? Will you jump in and say, God, I'm all in? whatever you need me to do, wherever you want to put me, whatever it is you want me to do to make this happen, God, I am all in. Every part of me is yours, God. And will you pray, God, make me a fully devoted follower and help me make fully devoted followers of Christ. I give it all to you. Would you say that prayer today? God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for your grace, your mercy, God. You are just so wonderful. And we're just blessed, God, that as we are, failures, as we have addictions, hang-ups and habits, Lord, that probably aren't the best things for our lives, God, you still allow us to be in your presence. Father, and we are forever grateful, Lord, for because of Jesus. And it's because of the sacrifice that he made on that cross. We can have everlasting life. We can be changed. Thank you so much for your son. Thank you for everyone in this place, Lord, that helps everything happen each and every week. There's a lot to do, Father. There's a lot to do in this church. There's a lot to do in this community. And Father God, I just thank you so much for the willing hearts that are here each and every week that want to be a part of that. They want to do whatever they can do to make this happen. So I just pray if there's anyone sitting in this place today who's wondering what their role is, what part can they play, what can they do to make your kingdom brighter, to make the name of Jesus known more, to make fully devoted followers of Christ. I just pray, Father God, that you would open their hearts to that, God, that you would reveal those gifts, and that they would just open their hearts and their lives and their body and everything and say, God, I'm all in. Use me. Use me to make a difference. That's the mission. That's the heart of this church, God, is to make fully devoted followers of Christ. And so, Father, we ask that you would just do whatever it is you need to do in our lives to make that happen. If we're holding on to something in our lives, God, that doesn't belong, we pray, Father, that we would just release it. God, that you would change us. That you'd get us to a place, God, where everything we do and say brings you the honor and glory, God, that you are so worthy of. So, God, we surrender our hearts to you. We surrender our lives to you. And we thank you for this day. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.